Open your Bibles to Romans 14. Romans chapter 14. If the Lord will give me the ability to speak tonight, and He'll give you ears to hear this, I'm going to ruffle feathers. Period. As I was studying this, I got my feathers ruffled. Romans 14. Tom, my message is strong and weak. I don't know why my mind always goes to what it could be titled. I always tell Kimberly that. Shrimp po' boys on Halloween. We could talk about that. Boy, that'd offend some people, wouldn't it? What if I ate a pulled pork sandwich while I looked at my Christmas tree? Oh, sinner. I want to ask you a question. Don't answer me. I want you to answer it inside your hearts. And go with the first answer, not what you're supposed to say. Okay? Are you strong or are you weak in faith? Am I strong or am I weak in faith? Compared to our Lord, our Savior, we're all weak. We're all weak in faith. There's several verses here in Romans 14 as we go through chapter 14 into chapter 15. They're verses to those that are mature in faith, those that are strong in faith. And what our text tonight is, there's one verse to those that are weak in faith. There's one comment to them. You know how wise that is? How prudent that is? That makes us receptive, doesn't it? If I stood up here and said, "All you are weak in faith and I'm strong, you're going to listen to me." You just put cotton balls in your ears, didn't you? By nature, we think we're the strong ones. Somebody else has got to be weak. That's our old flesh. We know what we're talking about, don't we? Let's look here in Romans 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. Take him in. But not to doubtful disputations. That means you take those that are weak in faith, receive them, but not just to judge their doubtful thoughts. If you got a marginal reference there, that's what that says. You don't take them in just to get a good look at them, to pick on them, and I'm going to teach you something. That's not why we take them in. Paul's hand was moved to write this to the strong believer. That's who he's speaking to. But if we're instructed on how to grow in grace, we're told to do that. Grow in love, grow in grace, grow in knowledge, Lord Jesus Christ. That means that we got some room to grow. We ain't maxed out. This is a true brother who they're speaking of, a true believer, to receive him. One is weak in faith. That is not someone that believes a false gospel. Someone weak in faith is not someone that believes a false gospel. Notice there he says he is weak, but he is weak in faith. He's weak in the faith. There's only one faith. There's only one faith. The faith that God gives. That's what Paul told Timothy. The faith of God's elect. Revelation 13 is called the faith of the saints. Those that are sanctified. The Lord set apart. It's His faith He gives them. The common faith. This one here is weak, but he's in the faith. He's a believer. Now what does this guy believe? This one that's weak in the faith. That they're receiving. This brother. What do they know? What do they know? This brother or sister, they truly know that they are sin. They're not just, I got some bad sides. I got some room for improvement. They know they're sin. That's what they are. They're convicted of this. They have a conviction of sin. And they have a conviction that all of mankind, everybody born of Adam, is totally depraved. We have some understanding of that. This believer that is weak, they know that there's nothing in them that made God choose them. He didn't look down this telescope of time and say, well, that one right there, he's going to be weak, but he's going to choose me, or she's going to, and I'm going to take her. But rather, God chose His people by free and sovereign grace in the love of His Son, Christ His elect. He put them in before the time began. That's why He picked me. Nothing in me, nothing good in me, because I understood the first point. Totally depraved. That believer, that weak brother or sister, they don't believe that Christ died for everybody and just wants to save them. That's another God. That's not the gospel. That's somebody else. It's not the God of this Bible. But they know that Christ was victorious in redeeming that particular people He came to save. They believe God. Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people. He's going to. They don't witness a failure. They witness a victorious Savior, don't they? This believer knows that a sinner who's born again must be made willing in the day of Christ's power. He has to make us willing. They've experienced that grace to be irresistible to some degree. They've been drawn by Him. They may have run. They may have trying to run away right now. But those that are in God's hand cannot be removed. Those that are His. Those that He calls to Him. They know that they can't keep themselves. They've come to know Him. They've come to see the love that's in Christ. And I can't stay there. They believe the Lord when He says, He which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to keep His people. He'll keep them faithful. So this is a true child of God it's speaking of. But the problem is that he's weak in faith. But since he's a brother or a sister, I'm to receive them even though they are weak in the faith. Now there's a difference between weak and strong faith, isn't there? That's what's referenced here in this text. What is it to be strong in the faith? It's to trust the Lord. To believe Him and to believe His Word. To rest in Christ. To stop working and rest in Him. What's a good example of that I thought of? It was whenever Christ was in that boat and the storm came. What'd He do? He was back there asleep, wasn't He? Now, if you want strong faith, don't come to service and go to sleep. Okay? You've got to stay awake. That's our example. He was resting in the Lord. He trusted the Father solely, didn't He? Wasn't nothing to worry about. That boat wasn't sitting still and there happened to be a storm coming. It was a rocking and a rolling. Resting peacefully. Nothing to worry about. In strong faith, there's a growth in knowledge and understanding. The Lord grows us in faith. He grows us in grace. Grows us in a knowledge and understanding of Him. But knowledge and understanding is not faith. There's people that just got so much knowledge of the Scriptures in their heads that their heads get so big it won't fit through the church door. And they say, well, I'm just going to stay off by myself. Ain't nothing I can learn down there. Isn't that a shame? We'll get to that next week in verse 7. But that's not strong faith. In the beginning of this chapter, we're given a couple examples here. And this does not make sense to the natural man. It's like, what in the world? They're talking about eating and drinking stuff. This doesn't make no sense. This doesn't go along, this attitude that's in here doesn't go along with what Grandma and Grandpa said. Why is that? Because the Lord's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. This offends a natural man. All right, verse 1. He that is weak in the faith receiveth ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Not just to pick on them. Verse 2. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eateth herbs. This is God's description of those strong in the faith and those that are weak in the faith. Now, Kevin, I ain't going to have that. He's up there saying that I'm weak. No, this is the Lord's Word. Let's remember that. This is God's Word. First, He says there, God says strong faith, it knows. It's taught by the Holy Ghost that Christ fulfilled the law. So that we're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. We have liberty to eat and drink anything we want. That law is not eating and drink to us no more, is it? Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Just a few pages there to your right. 1 Corinthians 8. Christ told us clearly while He was walking this earth. He said, it's not that which goeth into the mouth that defileth the man, but what comes from his heart that defiles him. We have a liberty to even eat the meat that was used in the worship of idols. The apostle had this liberty. The apostle Paul did. Because he was strong in the faith. Look here in 1 Corinthians 8 verse 4. As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols. We know that an idol is nothing in this world. And that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or earth, as there be gods many and lords many. There's a whole bunch of them called Lord, a whole bunch of them called God. But to us, there is but one God, the Father, of whom all things are all things, and we in Him. And one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. Back in that day, these false temples, these false churches out there, they'd have these sacrifices to these unknown gods. And whenever they'd slay these animals, they'd spill their blood, do their services, and then they'd take that carcass and they'd go sell it at the market, and it was cheaper than the rest of the meat. This is a metropolitan area. And people were poor, and so they'd go buy the cheapest meat they had. It was just as good as any other lamb, just as good as any other goat, but they would go buy that cheap meat and eat that. And Paul's saying, it wouldn't make a difference if they're offering that goat to a false god or if they're offering it to a tree or a fire truck. Eating that ain't going to... If the Lord gave us, like our brother read just a minute ago, if He's gave nations for you, He gave His Son for you, do you think if you ate a piece of pig, that's going to take you out of His hand? That's the liberty that Paul was given. He was strong in the faith. He'd go eat anything he wanted. Howbeit, is not in every man that knowledge. Not everyone knows that. Not everyone's been grown to that yet. So back in our text there. First, he's strong. They can eat anything they want. Go get you a pulled pork sandwich and look to Christ and not to this mouth that you're putting it in. Look to the one that gave you life, and that's fine. But secondly here, God speaks to those as weak in faith. He says the weak faith believes he may only eat herbs. That's a vegetarian. I ain't going to eat any meat. This is confusing. There's a lot of rules. So I'm just going to stick to vegetables. Maybe this brother or sister, they came out of a religion and they grew up their whole life being told you can't eat pork. You can't eat shellfish. You can't drink soda. Oh, it's got caffeine in it. No coffee. A good friend of mine couldn't drink coffee and couldn't drink soda. But this brother or sister may have grew up that way, and now God's brought them out of that. He's gave them true faith, and they truly believe on the Lord Jesus in spirit and in truth. But they still have these grave clothes. He believes he should only eat the vegetables and just avoid all meat altogether. And this isn't for sanctification. This isn't for salvation. I just think they ought to do it. That's what they ought to be doing. Well, I was talking to some of the folks the other day. We got blue laws in Kentucky. That still blows my mind here. I drive by a liquor store on Sunday and it's open. That's just foreign to me. Why is that place open? That ain't supposed to happen. That's still in the back of my mind. That's ingrained in my memory. It's my thought process. But this here, what Paul's speaking of, this isn't a disagreement over substitution. This isn't a disagreement over how Christ saves His elect. It's about a walk in this world in regards to this flesh. How we walk through this world, not in the spirit. We walked according to this world all the way up until Christ saves us and gives us life. And boy, it's hard to let go of them grave clothes. We don't even know what they are. But God says this weak brother that's going to only eat herbs is an heir. That's why he's called weak in the faith. Our Lord says the brother who eats all things, go eat whatever you want, they are right to do so. Enjoy that liberty that the Lord's gave you. That's why God calls them strong in faith. My pastor used to tell me, he said, if y'all want to go eat possums, go ahead. I say, it's okay. Somebody said, what's a possum taste like? Another guy said, it tastes like owl. I didn't know if anybody would laugh at that. I'll explain later. But how does God say that they should treat each other? Here's two drastically different breeds. We're all different, ain't we? Everyone was born somewhere else, grew up different parents, grew up different ways. We all have different experiences. We're all different people. And these are two drastically different. One will eat anything, even out of those idol temples, and the other one won't even eat meat at all. How we should treat each other. Don't despise them and don't judge them. Who's that talking to? Either or. The strong one in faith, don't despise them and don't judge the weaker ones. The weak in faith, don't judge them and don't despise them. Look here in verse 3. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. These brethren are to receive each other because God received them. The Lord tells you who are strong in the faith, don't pick on or think any less of brethren that won't eat everything that you'll eat. And we're not to pressure them into eating the things that aren't comfortable with, that aren't comfortable with eating, and they haven't been convicted in their hearts, it's okay to do so. We're not to treat them like unbelievers. Why? Because God's received them. To be forgiving as God has forgiven us. That's how we should walk. To be gracious as God has been gracious to us. To be merciful to our brethren as He's been merciful to us. We've experienced this. Those that are strong in faith, you know something about this. We've been matured and we have a little bit of wisdom. I know something about mercy. I didn't before. I know something about grace now. I didn't before. Now exercise that wisdom. Act like you know what you're talking about. We don't expect a baby to know everything that we know. There's some little ones in this congregation. A believer is not full grown when they're born. When the Lord does a work in somebody, they're not grown at that minute. Would you be mad at a baby for acting like a baby? If it was good and God and it fell down a whole bunch, we wouldn't get mad at that. That's just to be expected, isn't it? As a baby in Christ, a believer may think they can only eat certain meats, or they can only observe certain days, not to observe other days. But in their heart, they're fully persuaded they're doing it. They're doing every bit of it unto the Lord. So those strong in faith are not to blame them for acting like a baby in Christ when their heart's to the Lord. Do we know what their heart is? The weaker in faith, it says there, God tells them, do not judge him that eateth. Don't point out that, well, they eat everything. And just go sit in judgment and say, well, they're a sinner for doing that. The weak brother's not to call the strong brother, the stronger brother's liberty, licentiousness. That means somebody that's weaker in the faith not to say, well, they just got a license to sin. Boy, I wish I could remember that. Every time somebody's called, said, I've had a license to sin. That's all Kevin Thacker wants to do. I've been told that multiple times in my life. You're just trying to find a reason to do anything you want. Well, if I can remember, that could be a weaker brother. They think they're high and mighty. They think they're grown. But they just don't know no better. That'd be like, if I was to get mad at somebody, I said, well, you believe you got a license to sin. No, I don't. That's like a baby yelling at me and me going and yelling back at a baby. That'd be crazy, wouldn't it? Why do I do it in the Spirit? God tells that weak brother to receive a strong brother because God's received him. Lord, save both of us. Does that make sense to us? If we're grown in liberty in Christ, don't condemn your brethren for not growing as fast as you've grown. And if you haven't been taught that liberty, don't condemn those that do. We're so quick in our flesh just to get high and minded on our spiritual horses. Just like brothers and sisters. Just like siblings, isn't it? One knows better than you. I got two brothers and a sister. And buddy, if they'd live and do everything I did, the world would be a great place to be, wouldn't it? If they'd just be like me. We ever one think that would be. But since God received my brethren, I'm to remember God as their Father, the same as mine. If He's received your brother or sister, therefore you receive them. And we're not to charge them or condemn them. That's what Paul just told us back in Romans 8. He said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who's he that condemneth? It was Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us, for the strong ones and the weak ones. We don't want to be picked on, and we don't want to pick on others. Now, verse 4 there, it says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. You know some way we would word that in our modern vernacular, words we use nowadays? Mind your own business. That's their business. That's between the Lord and His child. We need to worry about ourselves. What's the quickest way to get a parent upset? You that have children, or you that know parents. You know, the quickest way to get a mom or a dad mad is to condemn their children. Somebody come to me and said, your children's doing this, and that ain't right. Boy, I wouldn't let my children do that. Even if they're wrong, I don't like hearing. You're going offensive, don't you? You want to defend that child. Likewise, same way, God says, thou, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? My brother's not my servant. My sister in Christ is not my servant. He's Christ's servant. So if I criticize him, I'm criticizing the master. Criticizing whose master that owns them. Now I'm saying, I think I could do a better job. Oh, so-and-so, they just ain't, they don't understand that they can just do what they want. They can eat that. It ain't going to hurt nothing. They don't have to watch that day. They ought to know better than that. That's me taking the place of Christ and saying, Lord, you haven't grown that one enough to suit me. That's what I'm saying. How is my brother or sister made Christ's servant? Same as we are. Same as every one of us is, isn't it? God the Father chose them in Christ before the foundation of the world. Christ Jesus laid down His life for them. He bled for them. He makes them His righteousness before God. That brother or sister is Christ's purchased possession. They're bought with a price, aren't they? Turn over Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. How does any spiritually dead sinner have spiritual life? Any of us. Ephesians chapter 1 there, verse 22. Second part of verse 22. Sinner, Christ is head over all things to the church. Verse 23. Which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And you hath He quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sin. I don't give life to my brothers and sisters, do I? I don't give life to sinners. The Master does. The head of His body does. The head of His church does. He's the one that gives life. How does a child of God have faith? Turn over to chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship. I don't give faith. And my brother or my sister isn't my workmanship. I got to whip them into shape. Boy, I got to trim some of them grave clothes off. Better quit that. That'd be my workmanship, wouldn't it? Or His workmanship. And does Christ give every one of His children the same faith? Do we all have it in the same measure, in the same degree? Turn over to chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, every one of us is given the same amount of saving grace, aren't we? According to Christ. We're all given that common faith, that saving faith in Him. But my Master, He gave my brother or my sister the measure of faith that they have. So if I doubt and I quarrel with a brother or sister, then I'm being critical of Christ their Master. Only Christ can increase the faith, not me. So often I forget, who maketh thee to differ? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou had not received it? I should read that every morning. Now remember, weak faith saves the same as strong faith does. Aren't you glad of that? The Lord spoke to those and He said, oh ye of little faith. And that's the first time I read that. I was wondering about it. I said, He said, you have faith. I ain't got much, but I have some, don't I? It's not the degree of our faith that saves us, but it's the object of our faith. That's what saves us. The Lord Jesus Christ. Whether we're weak in the faith or strong in the faith, both are made justified. Both are made righteous in Christ. So we're able to receive one another, trusting each other to Christ. I trust my brother and sister to Christ. They trust me to Him. So we've seen food as an example back in our text there in Romans 14. But we're given another example here of days. Now that meat, that food, that applies to anything. We know that, don't we? Drinking wine. Somebody has a glass of wine. Some people say, well, wine's never touched these lips. Not in this mouth. That's what he's getting at. Tobacco. Eating fast food. The list goes on. Whatever nowadays. Driving vehicles. Whatever it is. That's what he's speaking of. You can apply this to anything nowadays. So he gives us another example here of days. He said in Romans 14:5, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now remember, we can't see the brother or sister's heart. Only Christ can see their heart. He knows if they're doing it to him. But it says there the brother is weak in faith. He believes he should observe a day. Now is that a Sabbath day? I don't know a believer that observes a Christian Sabbath day. I never have. Not, and I know people that claim to be, and they argue if it's Saturday or Sunday, but they don't observe a day. Someone that the Lord's taught doesn't deserve a day. They observe Christ, our Sabbath. He who is our rest. Paul told us that in his letter to Colossians. Christ blotted out with the handwriting of ordinances that which was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of new moon or of Sabbath, which are shadows of things to come, but the body is of Christ. All those things pointed to Christ who saved us. Doing those things doesn't save us. But what they're speaking of, this weaker brother believes, let's say on Sunday, they ought to go to service in the morning. They go hear the gospel preached. And then the rest of the day, they go home and they read the scriptures all day. And they pray all day. And they listen to other sermons all day. And in the evening, they go back to service again on Sunday evening. They believe that they should spend all day devoted to the Lord. That's my day off, and I'm going to spend the whole day devoted to Christ. That's a good thing. That's good. That's not a bad one. Or they believe, that weaker brother or sister believes, that they shouldn't regard Christmas. They could be for a day, but they could be against a day too. Well, no, we don't keep Christmas. That's a pagan holiday. I won't even say happy holidays with somebody. Can't do it. Or they say Halloween's just horrible. To them, it's sinful. To dress in costumes and hand out candy to children. They don't want nothing to do with it. Those that are weaker in faith may observe days. Now, on the other hand, God says there that brother who is stronger in the faith, they regard every day the same. To that one, they wake up in the morning, the sun came up, today's the Lord's day. I'm going to dwell on Him today. I'm going to think about Him today. On Sunday, they go to services, they hear the gospel preached. They go home, they eat, they might watch a football game, eat a sandwich, take a nap. And if there's service that evening, they go back that evening. The strong brother, they don't put any religious significance on Christmas Day. They put up a tree, they put lights on it, they exchange gifts. I've never heard of anyone getting down in front of that tree and bowing to it. I'm getting on their knees and chanting and stuff. They just put a tree up. On Halloween, they pass out candy to children. They put on their Superman outfit and give out Snicker bars. There's people probably, be fighting mad with me over that. I know a few of them. I didn't say it. Lord said it, didn't He? What are these brethren to do with each other? One believes that you can't even say Christmas around me. The other one puts up a tree and hands out gifts. How should they react to one another? They're not to interfere with their brother's conscience, but let every man be fully persuaded within his own mind. You're not to live by my conscience, nor attempt to make me live by your conscience. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind concerning what God would have them to do. That's what we would like to see in our society, wouldn't it? Don't make me think your way, and I won't make you think my way. Every believer born and taught of the Lord Jesus Christ, they walk in the light that God's given them, living unto the Lord. Every one of them. Look here in verse 6. Romans 14:6. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. Those that truly do it, have a heart of conviction, think they're doing it to the Lord, they do it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord. For he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not. He does it for the Lord. And he giveth God thanks. Both of them are thankful, ain't they? They got something to be thankful for. If I judge my brother or my sister, I'm playing the legalist. Because I'm saying it's necessary to walk the way that I walk. Now is that for the stronger or the weaker? Either side of the coin. You ought to observe the days I observe. You ought to not eat the things I don't eat. That's put me in power over them. Or you ought to live just as free as I do. I've got liberty. You ought to do what I do. There's no difference. We're putting ourselves in Christ's place to teach them. It's not the judgment of men that matters. It's the judgment of our Master. And Christ is going to present every one of His people righteous, unblameable, holy, unreprovable in His sight. And next time we're going to look at verses 7 through 9. But I want us to read them. Romans 14, 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. We see all these things and we say, well, I just don't like Halloween. And I don't think you all should. But I believe the Lord, so I'm going to go live by myself. I'm going to go on some mountaintop somewhere. That's what Brother Henry said. We're not individually planted vines on every mountaintop. We're all planted into the Christ, that root, Christ the branch. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord of both, of the dead and the living. Lord willing, next week we'll see his lordship. But what he's getting at, Paul's telling us, put away these fleshly disputes. Whatever we can come up with, that ain't the issue. Look to the Lord that saved us. Put judgment aside and look to Christ. Amen. Let's pray together.